As the just shall live by his faith. His faith. Not somebody else's faith. His faith. The just shall live. Okay? Not by his money. Not by his connections. By his faith. What do you mean? What does it mean to live? Well, what do you do when you... How do you live? You get up and you have a schedule. You go to work and you shower and you, all of that you do it by faith. That's how you live. Your associations, the people you talk to, how you talk to them, your family, folks that you supervise, folks that supervise you. That's how you live. The just shall live. It's a command as well as a strong, what shall I say? Not suggestion. Shall live by faith. If you're going to live life as a Christian the way you should, it's got to be by faith.
Amen.
The just shall live. I have to do my living by this. This is how I live. Amen.
Amen.
If I'm going to please God, this is how I live. By faith. Well, what does faith mean? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. So for faith, by faith means I have to live by the word. By the word of God. This is my manual for life. Any question comes up, my first resource is, what does the Bible say about it? Either specifically or in one of its many principles. What principle? And that the Bible covers everything. Everything. There's nothing it doesn't cover. Nothing. Amen. Either directly or by principle. So, anything comes up, what does the Bible say? How I relate to my wife, my husband, my children, my employees, the folks that supervise, folks that supervise me. Whatever I do, what biblical principle is back of it? That's living by faith. Questions come up, politics, economics, you name it. What does the Bible say? What are the principles the Bible has to guide me? That's living by faith. The just must live like that. If we don't live like that, we'll never have abundant life. Amen.
Amen.
And so we talk about that. We talk about levels of faith. We talked about no faith. Jesus woke up from the bow of the boat because, there's water and there's flames and all of that. And he tells them, how is it you have no faith? That does not mean they didn't have faith, because faith has been given to every one of us, right?
Yes.
What it meant was, how come you're not using your faith? He rebuked them because they could have done what he did. If they couldn't have done it, he would be wrong to rebuke them. Amen? So, the problem was they didn't use their faith. No faith is dormant faith. Where we get used to, we know how much we're going to get at the end of the month. We've got it all planned. This is going to retirement. This is going to this. This is going to this. This is going to this. And that's it. We're not stretching our faith. We're not stretching, to believe for more. Well, now, we dare not say, I'm God's millionaire. Because, that's just too far away. Dormant faith. And then we talked about little faith. Little faith is worried about what it's going to eat and clothe. Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith, look at the grass. Look at the birds. I take care of them. Aren't you more worthy than they are? Oh, ye of little faith." So little faith is full of worry. I believe God, but but what if and what and all that. Little faith. Then we talked about weak faith. Weak faith is awed by the grandeur of God's promise. Mm-hmm. Weak faith thinks, well, if only he had come. Remember the Jesus' sisters? Lazarus' sisters. They say, if Jesus had come just a day or so ago, Lazarus wouldn't have died, but it's too late now. He's dead. Been dead for four days. Now he's stinking. That's weak faith. If only he had come yesterday, it would have been fine, but now it's too big. The mountain is too big for God. Even God. We won't say it because we know better. But we act like it. Weak faith. But then there's strong faith. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Great faith is the only faith that receives. Great faith cannot be denied. Because great faith is never dormant. It's always out there in use. Great faith doesn't worry. Because it knows God cares for me. Great faith knows that the mountain is not too big. Great faith tells the mountain how big God is.
Amen.
Great faith is not impressed by how big the mountain is. It tells the mountain how big his God, her God is. That's why great faith always receives God's promise. Hallelujah. Look at the book of Luke, chapter 7. In the few minutes we got left. Luke chapter 7. Thank you, Jesus. Now when he had ended all his sayings, verse 1, in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, the centurion sent. Now notice that, we're talking about great faith now. Notice that great faith is a lover. Luke chapter 7. This centurion, the centurion was a military officer in charge of about 100 people. Centurion, that's where that comes from. Centurion. Some commentators say this would be about the rank of a captain. Notice this centurion, highly placed individual in that society, is concerned about not his child, his servant. Great faith is a lover. Amen. Great faith walks in love. Great faith does not hold grudges. Because faith cannot rise from no faith through little faith, through weak faith to great faith if you hold grudges. Great faith walks in great forgiveness. This man is a lover. He comes to Jesus not on behalf of his child, on behalf of his servant. And back in those days, servants were, the Greek word there may even be slave. This guy cares about his servant. And the Bible says he sent unto Jesus the elders of the Jews. Well now, great faith gets along with people. He had a relationship with the Jew. This guy wasn't Jewish. He was a Roman centurion. Had a relationship with the Jews. The elders, now he says, a man of influence. The elders, he sent to the elders of the Jews, beseeching him, Jesus that is, that he would come and heal his servant. Now, if you don't read more of that, you think, this guy is a prideful guy. He sent them to go tell Jesus to come here. But then the more you read, the more you find out this guy is really humble. Really humble guy. But the elders were willing to do this. I wonder why. And when they came to Jesus, they besought Jesus. Huh? Besought means they pled with Jesus on this man's behalf. Wow. He must have been someone they appreciated. They besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Now go quickly to verse 6. Because see, they thought he was worthy. He didn't think he was worthy. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
A man of humility. Hallelujah. And okay, let's just read it. It says, he was worthy whom he should do this. How come? For he loveth our nation. He didn't just love his servant. He loved the Jewish nation, not even his own nation. Great love is a great lover. You have to be a man, woman of love, or your faith isn't going to rise to the level of great. He loveth our nation, and not just that, he has built us a synagogue. Oh, he's a giver. He's a giver. He built us a synagogue. Yeah, Pastor Shimna, bro, Shimna's not about the money. Yeah, I know that. But you know what? The money shows us your heart. Huh? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Huh? Oh yeah. The money blazes a trail all the way. Lead us to your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why they say on the street, show me the money. Right? Yeah, talk is cheap. Yes, show me the money. They don't. You can't fool them folks out there. Who come to church. Some folks want to fool church folk, but no, folks on the streets can't be fooled. You can talk all you want, show me the money. God knows it. That's why Jesus went and sat by the offering to see how much the folks are putting in. And all these big folks, you know, with the agbada, you know, they show up there, they put a little stuff there. This woman came and put all she had. Jesus wasn't impressed by all those zeros. Church was impressed, of course. Amen. So yeah, it's not about the money, but notice the place of money. This guy's a lover, he's a giver. You know those things go together? Lovers are givers. Givers are lovers. The reason why you give is because you love. If you don't love, you won't give. So folks who tell me, you know, look, show me the money. Show me the money. Amen. Amen. It's not about the money. Yeah, you're true. It's not about the money. But the money as an important evidence. It is. Yeah. Everybody spends money on the stuff they care about. Yeah, that's just the way it is. So this man loved and was a giver. He built us a synagogue. He was humble. Now, it says, then Jesus went with them. And when Jesus was on his way, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends. He has friends as well. This guy is a great man of faith. He's humble. He loves. He gives. God bless him. Has friends. Has influence over the Jewish leaders. This time he sends friends. To Jesus, saying unto him, Lord, don't trouble yourself to come unto me, for I am not worthy. They said I am worthy, but I know better, Lord. I don't magnify myself. Folks may magnify me, but I won't magnify myself. What a man. They say you should do this for me because I'm worthy, but I know better. I'm not worthy, Lord, for you to come into my house. This is the reason why, Lord, I didn't come see you. I didn't think I was worthy to be in your presence. Oh, my goodness. Huh? I'm not making that up. You see that, verse 7? This, wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you, but say in a word. You don't have to say a whole bunch of words, Lord. I know who you are. I know your authority, how powerful you are. All you have to say without coming to my house is a word, and my servant will be fine. Not like Naaman. Remember Naaman, the Syrian general? Who wanted the prophet to come out and wave stuff and wackle and dapple and all of that? No. This man said, don't even come to my house. Just say a word. And you know the rest of the story. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say, We talk about great faith. Mm-hmm. Huh? Great faith talks. Mm-hmm. Great faith is not mute. Great faith talks. He said, Jesus, say a word. For I know, because when I say, authority is released. My servants go and do. Great faith talks. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these words, he marveled at him. Actually, he marveled at his faith. And Jesus turned about him. Guess who was following him? His disciples. Those who should have known better. He turned about him and said unto them, to the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Amen?
Amen.
So, this is where we are supposed to be at. Great faith. Lover, giver, humble, talking. Okay, so let's go with this story. Faith works by love. This man was a lover. Galatians 5:6. Faith worketh by love. If you're not going to be a man of love, woman of love, your faith isn't going to do much. The devil will always mess it up. You start on a faith project, and unforgiveness, all of that will choke it out. The Bible says the devil comes immediately to choke the word. So, we must be men and women of love. Cannot afford to hold grudges. You cannot. Have to instantly forgive on the road. People cut you out of traffic. Amen? Great faith. Great faith. Walk in love. Glory. And giving. This guy was a giver, was he not? He built a synagogue for us, a giver. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Love goes with giving. Giving goes with love. Great faith is humble. He says, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. And this guy was a man of means. You know that, right? He was a man of influence. Huh? He told the Jewish leaders, not just the Jews, Jewish leaders. He had friends. He was a man of influence. He's a giver. He was humble. Look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. He was humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves. Does God humble people? No, sir. No, ma'am. Mm-mm. Some say, well, God was a humbling experience. Well, God humble. No. God doesn't humble. God's not in the business of humbling you. You know what? God's in the business of lifting you up.
Amen.
Amen. Lifting you from the miry clay. And setting your feet on solid ground. What God doesn't want is you lifting yourself up. But you can't, because you can't do that without sinning, without getting into pride. He can do it properly. Huh? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What does that mean? Under the word of God. This man was a man of humility. And then it says that he may exalt you. Well, that proves it right there, doesn't it? Huh? You be in charge of humbling yourself. Let God be in charge of exalting you. And he will. He will. He'll lift you up above sickness, above disease, above the wagging tongues. Glory to God. Amen. This man was humble. and God will do it in due time. Casting all your care upon Him. Did you know that's the most humbling thing you can do? That's it. Humble doesn't mean you lay down and people walk on you. Humble means you are willing to say, God, compared to you, I know nothing. Huh? I don't know what to do, but you do. Yes. That's true Bible humility. Doing it God's way. Amen. Not the way of philosopher so-and-so. Huh? Or counselor so-and-so. Dr. Phil or Oprah or anybody else. Doing it the way Jesus said to do it. That's humility. Bringing yourself and saying, you know more than I do. I have no idea unless I get it from you. That's true Bible humility. When you cast your care on Him. Because God, I'm not able, qualified to handle this care. But you are. You're bigger than I am, wiser than I am. You can do this. I can, but you can. That's Bible humility. But when you want to do it yourself, you take this on your shoulders, you are playing God. Mm-hmm. And you cannot. You are not able to. You are not meant to carry care. Huh? Amen. Casting all. Not some. All of them. Somebody says, see, God, if you just take care of this and take care of that, I'll take care of the rest. That's an insult to the cross and the blood. If you were able to take care of the rest, He wouldn't have died for you. You're not able to do it. Cast all the care on Him. Amen.
Amen.
This guy was humble. A man of humility. Where did our time go? Okay, 5 more minutes. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, great faith sounds anything but humble, right? When you start talking big, it doesn't sound humble. But it is humble. Unless you're talking big about what you are going to do. Huh? If you're talking big about what He is going to do or has done, to Him it's humility. To human ears, it may sound like you're bragging, braggadocio. No, no, no. To God, it's music to His ear. Finally, I've got one that is trying to let me do what I like to do.
Amen.
Look at 1 Kings. Here's an example of some that sound braggadocious. Even taunting. Huh? You remember Elijah? On Mount Carmel, do you not? What's the story here? The verse 19, 1 Kings 18:19. There's sin in the land. They're worshiping Baal. And God tells Elijah, go show them that I'm the only God. So he goes up there. And he sets a contest. He gathers all the prophets of Baal, one side. He says, give us 2 bullocks, 2 cows. Cut them up, the pieces of meat. Put it on an altar. Put firewood and all of that, but no fire. The God that answers by fire, He is the true God. And so they start. They pray to Baal. Nothing is happening. Look at verse 27. They pray from morning to evening, verse 26, verse 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Well, that sounds like, pride. That's not so good. And said, cry aloud, for He is a God. Either He is talking on His cell phone or tweeting, texting, or He's pursuing, or He is in a journey on vacation. And his phone is disconnected. You know, what a God. Who wants to serve a God like that, huh? Or perhaps he's asleep. And he must be awaked. So wake him up. Wake up your God. Who wants to wake up his God? I serve a God that wakes me up. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Not when I have to wake up. And I said, you in trouble, man. And they cried and they cut themselves and they do all kind of stuff. And then Verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench above the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces, laid on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Mm-hmm. And pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. So there's no doubt that this thing wasn't dry enough to crack up and cause fire by itself. Huh? It's wet wood. And he said, do it again. And they did it. And it came to pass, as the time of the offering and offering for sacrifice, verse 36, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Israel, of Shina. Glory to God. Put your name there when you read stuff like that. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. See, this all of this sounds braggadocious. Huh? But it's great faith. Because he's doing exactly what he was being told to do. And he says it. And that I am thy servant. And that I have done all these things at thy word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word. He's acting in God's word. Great faith. Although to the person standing by them I have talked. What a bragful prophet, you know. They wouldn't have thought that long, because all of a sudden, verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and licked the water. I like that part. Water leaking fire can only come from heaven. Amen. Woo! Great faith. Great manifestation. Great faith. It's humble. Walks in love. Works by the word. It's a giver. Amen. Let's walk by great faith. What do you say?
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I'm not done, but that's a good place to stop. So we will. Thank you, Jesus. Great faith. Great faith. Glory, 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 glory. We are men and women of faith, Father. We have faith, for you have dealt to each of us the measure of faith.
Yes.
Help us to grow it. To grow it, not let it be dormant. To grow it from no faith. Grow it past little faith. Grow it past weak faith. Grow it to great faith, that we may receive all that Jesus died and paid for us to receive.
Amen.
No more, no less. We don't want anything that Jesus didn't die for us to have. On the other hand, we want everything. For his death, burial, and resurrection cannot be in vain. We refuse for it to be in vain in our lives. We refuse for it to be a waste. We receive everything he died for us to have. We don't want anything he didn't die for us to get. Glory to God. We thank you for it, for our great faith. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Anybody wants prayer for anything? Physical pain, healing? We release our faith, Father.
Yes.
Yes, why not, Father? Why not? We release our faith to all the members of Faith Victory Church who don't even know yet. Who may have any pain, any sickness, any disease right now. We're commanded to go. Every ache, every pain, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God.
Thank you.